This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to a Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Stormy Bonantoni and Mike Pritchard in for Michael Lombardi today, one of his days off. But we love having Pritch on here like we do every single week. And this is such a great week in sports, Pritch, because we have the NBA and NHL conference finals that are going on. Today is Victor Wembanyama Day as well. We're getting all the numbers for NFL stuff. So much going on, and unfortunately, though, we have to start the news on a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
But it's something that we all saw coming, I think.
Yeah. You know what, Stormy? I mean, coaches, they can accept this. You know, you're going to get hired. It's a bottom-line business. It's a results-oriented business, and unfortunately, it's going to cost one prominent coach in the NBA his job because of expectations and, I think, lack of culture, too. I mean, you are in a perfect position if you are the 76ers. You're up 3-2. You're at home. And then you let that one slip away, and then you don't even know show. You know show in game seven, which is supposed to be the most competitive situation out there. So, Doc Rivers has been fired from the Philadelphia 76ers, and a lot of people probably saw that coming.
Yeah, he did take the 76ers to the conference semifinals each of the last 3 years, but not enough, especially when you have a guy like Joel Embiid, who has finished top two in the MVP voting each of those years, actually wins the MVP this season. And, you know, Michael Lombardi was on the program before that final game, just saying that he felt whoever lost that game, whether it be Joe Mazzulla or Doc Rivers, that they could very easily be in a situation where they could potentially lose their job. And that's what happens to Doc Rivers here. It doesn't help that he has lost 10 game sevens in his career as well, more than double any other coach in NBA history, Pritch. So it stinks. It happened obviously very quickly after they lose that final game. But with this being like a situation where you have a lot of really good available head coaches right now, they probably had to move quickly.
You know what? It's like the year of NBA coaches getting fired. I mean, Monty Williams gets fired for going to the playoffs. Doc Rivers not meeting expectations, right? And so it does beg the question, where do the 76ers go? I mean, there's so many options out there. Boonholzer gets fired up there in Milwaukee, too. I forgot about him. It's fascinating to see where the NBA wants to go or where the 76ers want to go. With a reigning MVP type of player, I don't know what they're going to do with Harden. It's like the Sixers have been – remember the process? Remember that thing?
Remember it well.
And then, okay, we're going to pivot. And then, okay, no longer the process, no longer seven – we're going to have all seven-footers on the floor. We're not going to do that. So it's like the 76ers can't make up their mind, whoever they bring in. And some has suggested – or have suggested – I've heard this earlier – the college ranks, there's a CBS analyst, Jay Wright, Villanova?
Yeah.
So it's right there. Monty Williams, obviously, you know, I don't know what direction they're going to go in, but it's all about Embiid and maximizing that roster and maximizing the culture or developing a culture that's accustomed to winning. It's like, Doc, I mean, it wasn't too long ago. I think it was a week ago. We were talking that, the Celtics were getting out-coached. Right?
Yeah.
And then here you go.
We joked that Joe Mazzulla is the best thing that ever happened to Doc Rivers because of that.
Right. And then, okay, turn the tables, and now Doc's out.
Yep. And Adrian Wojnarowski, who, of course, did drop the news initially, has reported since that in their search for a new head coach, the names on their list are Mike Budenholzer, Sam Castle, Mike D'Antoni, Nick Nurse, Frank Vogel, and Monty Williams. But those are all of the names that are available right now. And like I said, it seemed like, just have to move quickly. Nick Nurse and Monty Williams, you would assume, would be the top two on that list. With the 76ers out of the playoffs, it is the 8-seed Miami Heat and the 2-seed Boston Celtics that will be going head-to-head. That series begins on Wednesday on TNT. The Celtics, a big -525 favorite there. The Heat, 4-1. Tyler Hero, still not expected to be available this series, but we'll see. But we do have the Western Conference finals that are getting underway tonight. And money keeps coming in on the top seed Nuggets in this spot, who host the Lakers for game one in a battle of the bigs. I love it. We're going to get a different kind of basketball in this series. I'm
yes, we are.
About it.
Yeah, me too. You know what, Stormy? I think there's so many ways that the Lakers can go in terms of trying to match up with the Joker. What do you do? I mean, AD is not a typical five, right, to match up with a big center or a point center, if you will. And also you want AD to score. And AD, he's the youngest old guy on the court.
He always is, right? I mean, he gets hit in the face. He just looks like he's lazy at times. But then when he turns it on, he's unstoppable. He really is. And so I wonder if LeBron will D up the Joker a little bit. You know, Jamal Murray, you got to worry about him. But this is an interesting matchup because you would think that the Lakers are old, but they just beat Memphis, and certainly they beat Golden State. And going on the road in game one situations have been outstanding.
Yeah.
For the Lakers, too, averaging over 120 points offensively in game one situations, whether it's Memphis or Golden State here on the road. So here you go. I mean, I'm not going to discount the Lakers because they are elder statesmen, in particular LeBron James. I think they got to step up. The trade deadline obviously has been beneficial from a defensive standpoint for the Lakers. But if the Joker gets off, which he will, you can't stop him. Who else is going to join Nikola Jokic, right? I mean, is it Jamal? Can he be consistent? I don't think Michael Porter Jr. is that guy. Gordon, he's going to have to D up LeBron, I think. So it's an interesting matchup. But if the Lakers get off to a hot start, they take the pressure off themselves immediately.
I think role players are going to be very important on both sides of this series. Like, what are you going to get from Austin Reeves or Rui Hachimura in this situation? But to your point about Jamal Murray, he is technically listed as questionable for anybody out there with a non-COVID illness. This is the same listing he had ahead of game 6 against the Suns as well, but he did play in that game and ended up putting up 26, his prop tonight, 24.5, just for awareness for that number. What you said about the Lakers getting off to hot starts, though, they're 6.5-point dog tonight. Mm-hmm. They obviously win game ones as road dogs in each of the two previous series. But then you look at how good Denver simultaneously has been at home this postseason. They're 6-0 straight up, 5-1 against the number, covering all three in Ball Arena against the Suns. And then even further back when you go to them playing the West in the regular season, 21-1 this year against Western Conference teams with Jokic playing in those games. So Ball Arena has treated them very, very well in the conference.
Yes, it has. And it's the altitude, it's the environment, it's the energy in the building. But, LeBron James has been to, 9 finals, NBA finals. He's got 4 championships. So I don't know if this environment is going to affect him. Yeah. It's everybody else. You know, AD in particular to me. Austin Reeves, I mean, that guy has been playing lights out. Russell is a guy who's not afraid of confidence. I like to say it that way. Schroeder, I mean, he's going to get under somebody's skin as well. But it's all about LeBron. You know, is he going to be somebody who's need to get his points? Certainly he's going to have to play defense. I think he's going to have to contend with the Joker and let AD kind of reserve himself throughout this series. So I know the Lakers' MO is trying to get out to a fast start, number one, but what you just mentioned about the Nuggets at home with a little bit of pressure because the Nuggets have not been in a situation as a number one seed in a Western Conference Finals. So we'll see how they handle that as well.
Do you have a gut feeling at all on this game or maybe the length type of series we're going to get?
I think we'll get 7.
I think so too.
Yeah, it's to me, LeBron James, you can't discount him, right? You can't bet against him. And I think, once the Nuggets get on the road, we've seen some defensive problems on the road for the Nuggets too. So when they get out to L.A., I think that'll pop up. But the 6 points is intriguing. Catching 6 points because of the fast start for the Lakers. I mean, they're averaging, like I said, over 120 points a game in game one situations. So that's going to be interesting to see how the Nuggets deal with that. On if it's a tight game down the stretch in the fourth quarter as well.
If you do think it's going to go 7, that series total games over 5.5 is -210. But the 7 specifically, if you just want to bet it to be a 7-game series, +170 the price. If you like Denver in 7, +290, that is the favorite in that market. But Lakers in 7, 6-1. So some interesting just prop ways that you could potentially bet this series. I'm curious as well about how the officiating might be. We know how good the Lakers have been at drawing fouls, and that was a significant piece of why they were able to have success against Golden State.
Right.
Getting inside, drawing a foul, getting those extra points. Nuggets, however, don't foul a lot.
Yeah,
so how's that going to go?
Right. Great point again. You know, Stormy, Denver, and again, my second home, it's like it's been such a flyover city.
Yeah.
Right, and you wonder if the association is going to give them respect, or is this all going to be about LeBron? You know, you got to have LeBron in the finals, LA, Boston, right? Who's not going to want that, right? So there's some conspiracy out there a little bit. You can feel it. You can feel it. At least they do in Denver, and so you can rest assured that they're going to be chirping if they feel like it's getting slanted a little bit towards the Lakers.
Last minute and a half here, because we did talk about Doc Rivers and his record in game sevens not being great. Pete DeBoer, meanwhile, the head coach of the Dallas Stars last night, improves to 7-0 in game sevens in his head coaching career. The Stars eliminated the Kraken last night with a 2-1 win. We finally got an under in the series. We thought it was going to be an under series, but Jake Oettinger really leveled up his game.
Yeah.
And as a Vegas Golden Knights fan, person that wants them to win, I am a little bit anxious about how this matchup is going to go with the Vegas Golden Knights against the Stars now that their goalie has found his stride.
I know. How about that, too? And you know, I think the Knights have found their stride, too. I mean, considering the offensive onslaught they were facing each and every time against Edmonton. But I got to ask you, you know, DeBoer going up against this team. I mean, I know it's one of his former teams, but this is a unique situation as we see another rematch between the Stars and the Knights.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting from the standpoint that he knows the personnel as well as he does. But I'm excited for Pete, because I don't think that he deserved to be fired from the Golden Knights in general. I mean, and to Bruce Cassidy's credit, I don't think he deserved to be fired from Boston either.
Right.
So happy for both of those head coaches to get to this point. It will be an exciting Western Conference final. Golden Knights -140 favorite, Stars +120. Oddly enough, I have more Stars futures money invested than I do my hometown team. So we'll see how that one plays out. Pretty similar numbers with the Panthers and Hurricanes as well in the Eastern Conference. Hurricanes -135 series favorite. The Panthers, after beating both the Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs, now an underdog yet again in their third series. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we will turn our attention to a little NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year talk with some rookie minicamp headlines.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM. State-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Mike Pritchard in for Michael Lombardi today. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. We're hanging out live from downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. And it's time to get to our rookie corner, I guess, segment.
Okay. I like it.
Just breaking down some of the headlines that we have coming out of these rookie mini camps. And before we even get to that, Mike, it seems very clear that this is, again, talking season,
right?
And that everybody is the greatest. Like, how much of this are we going to be getting here?
A lot. I mean, I think people are looking for content one, but you know, there's some pleasant surprises out there, because you think about rookie mini camp and it's all about installation. And so you're leaving college, or you can go into the National Football League, and you're getting the playbook. And so if you're Bryce Young, you're grasping the playbook. Oh my God, we're amazed at how fast he's grasping the playbook. He's so smart. He's supposed to, right? Mm-hmm. That's his job now, right? 24/7. He's supposed to grasp the playbook. Anthony Richardson, same kind of thing. You know, I think Bijan Robinson and, you know, all these rookies, they're going to impress. They were first rounders. I mean, I think we'll see some guys that were drafted in the middle rounds too, kind of impressed, you know, with athleticism or grasping the playbook again, or natural ability on the field too. But they're going up against other rookies and a lot of guys that are, you know, we call them walk-ons, but they're undrafted free agents. And, you know, you're trying to get some work done, but more importantly, you're trying to install all the things offensively and defensively. And you certainly want the rookies to have a fast start.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Bryce Young, and he is somebody that's been spoken about glowingly so far to this point. Another quarterback, though, that's gotten some positive headlines has been Colts' new QB, Anthony Richardson. One of their beat writers observing practice this past week was really impressed specifically by his pocket awareness, said he's not nearly as raw as they anticipated him being coming in. What does that say to you?
Well, I don't know if he's seeing a zone blitz or any rotating corners or safeties and all that in rookie camp, but yeah, of course he's going to have poise in a pocket. I mean, it's a mini camp.
Well, that's what I said. When we were in the commercial break, I was like, who are you playing? You're playing other rookies.
Yeah,
there's nobody right now.
Yeah, nobody's game. I mean, we talk about this with preseason. Nobody's game planning, right? But no, Richardson is going to impress, and he's going to surprise a lot of people. His upside is tremendous. That's why he got drafted as high as he got drafted. I think the system is going to fit what he's accustomed to, too. Like, this isn't foreign to Anthony Richardson, where he's going with the Colts and Shane Steichen. Years ago, you know, you had offenses in college in which, okay, there was a learning curve. There was a steep learning curve from a quarterback from college to the National Football League. But now they've implemented college playbooks into the National Football League. And so this is the exact fit for Anthony Richardson to have a fast start, in my opinion. So I'm not shocked by any of it. And you know, as a bettor, do not be shocked by the headlines or certainly some articles that'll come out.
Anthony Richardson, potential value on that number at 7-1 to be the offensive rookie of the year if he is able to start fast in that system, to your point. And I wonder, we often coming out of the draft talk about, okay, who's going to be the guy that hits, right?
Right.
Sometimes it's the number one guy. Sometimes it's not. I mean, oftentimes, quite frankly, it's not. And it's somebody else down the line. Could Anthony Richardson, because we talk about the potential boom or bust that he has probably more than any other prospect, that he could end up, I mean, being the best guy in this class, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at quarterbacks with all the hype.
Bryce Young is still my favorite, though, even though you think he's too short. I just
hope he survives, Stormy. That's all. I mean, Anthony Richardson had all the hype, right? And think about all the quarterbacks that held all the hype. Baker Mayfield had a ton of hype. He really hasn't. I mean, he had a great rookie year, though. I mean, certainly. But you know, where he's at right now has been different. So I think for Anthony Richardson, boom or bust is in the cards for him. But with this offense, I'm trying to think of how he's going to bust out, because he can always run the football. We saw Jalen Hurts do that for 2 years and get to a Super Bowl. And then eventually in year three, maybe year four, you turn into a pocket passer or a quarterback that can throw the ball consistently in the National Football League. But yeah, he certainly has all the hype. And the number two, I think, is fair when you look at rookie of the year plus 700 for Anthony Richardson.
The favorite, and I think rightfully so, Bijan Robinson at 3-1, new running back over there with the Atlanta Falcons, taken a lot earlier than most people thought maybe that any running back would go typically in a draft, right? But he's not just your typical back. He is considered to be a weapon with everything that he can do, not only in the running game, but the pass game. And with that, he was asked about how he feels that Arthur Smith has been using him so far at these camps, and he says he's been used everywhere. He really, really likes his usage to this point. The expectation is that he's going to have a very heavy workload here in 2023-24. When you think about the rushing yards props numbers we have here, 1,100.5 yards, 8.5 touchdowns. That's a lot. Those are pretty high numbers.
I like it, though. I think he can go over. I think there's a emphasis on running backs moving forward. A year ago, and we talked about this last year into the season in 2022, over half the league inquired about the San Francisco running game and how Kyle Shanahan is able to run the football so successfully against any look at the line of scrimmage. And that's over half the league that inquired about that. So I know Arthur Smith, I know Atlanta, they want to do that. You know, think of Bijan as a Christian McCaffrey, right? And think about how they're utilizing him and moving him and interchanging parts too. Cordarrelle Patterson could line up at running back, or he could line up at wide receiver. Bijan Robinson can line up at running back, or he can line up at wide receiver. And so that's where the league is going to. And I think if you can catch a defense and a lighter personnel, like say there's a nickel or even a dime package on the field, now you can move them back into the running back position and run the football. And so I think 1,100 yards is in play, or going over 1,100.5 rushing yards is in play for Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, and good protection for your young quarterback as well, and in Desmond Ridder to have that option. I think I almost like the rushing touchdowns maybe a little bit more. But so what I want, here's what I want. I want all-purpose yards. I want yards from scrimmage. I want to see what that number is.
Right. And I think, you know, if the books are thinking of Bijan like a Christian McCaffrey type, I mean, I don't know or if we're going to get a great number, right? I mean, they're going to do their homework on that. So, but a great point. I mean, touchdowns, too, is an angle. I think you look how Atlanta's built, too, with Kyle Pitts, a tree. London, a tree. You know, all these tall options for Ridder to throw the ball to. And if you spread out a defense that way, all of a sudden now you do have running lanes in the red zone.
We got some positive news coming from Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Seahawks' new rookie wide receiver out of Ohio State, who, of course, was dealing with a pretty significant hamstring injury that he missed most of last season with. in college, but he said he feels great, feels 100%, quote, ready to go and happy to be out here competing. And Seattle, a team that certainly feels that his future is bright and plans on giving him a pretty good workload as well.
Stormy, he's good. He's really good. I mean, he's in a perfect spot, too, because you got DK and you got Lockett. My rookie year, I had Andre Rison and Michael Haynes. So I was considered a slot receiver and a third option. I made all rookie. Did not make rookie of the year, but was in the running at some point during the season, though. So you're talking about a guy like this who, from a rookie of the year standpoint, I think he'll be in the running for the majority of the season. Just because of the nature of how that offense is made up right now, they can run the football, but they also have those other weapons out there to kind of take the heat off Smith and Jigba. So I think he's in a unique situation and maybe a surprising situation when it comes to rookie of the year, too.
You have an 8-1 is what his number is, but you have such a unique eye having played the position at the highest level. Was he your favorite coming in this draft, or who was?
He was. I mean, I think he's a more polished player. The guy who I think has the most upside is Hyatt.
Hyatt.
Yeah, Jalen Hyatt, and he's out there in New York now. You know, Quentin Johnston is unique, too, because of his catch radius. But he's a body catcher, right? And I hope he changes that. But in terms of polished guys and you know, out of the box, ready to play with, no assembly, no batteries needed, that was Smith and Jigba all the way.
I love it. What did you think of the Falcons' schedule?
You know, I like it. I think they can go worst to first because they won 7 games last year, right? And you think about that division. Just win 2 more games, even 3 more games. I think you can go to first place in that division. But more importantly, the back end of their schedule is nothing but dome teams. Like, you know, Atlanta's not going to be in a foreign territory. I mean, it's not going to be foreign to Atlanta to play outside. And I know they have Chicago, right? But I'm looking at New Orleans down the stretch. I'm looking at Indy down the stretch. I'm looking at, you know, they got the Vikings and all this stuff. But certainly in a dome at home, too. So I think their schedule on the back end, you know, if Atlanta's not playing themselves out of it, they got a great chance of winning that division this year.
In a division with such low expectations, right? That it, while the Saints, obviously, with Derek Carr coming in, get the benefit of the doubt as being the presumed favorite in this spot, I think it really is up for grabs in a lot of ways.
I do, too. That offense is potent, too. A lot of young players on that offense, but they're good.
Yeah, be fun to see how things come together. We're going to, I mean, speaking of Ohio State college football, why not turn our attention to college football? Because we have season win totals out. And we're going to take a look at the Pac-12 when we come back. What does he think about his alma mater? How's Deion going to do? Can they get over 3 wins? Can they do it?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
So much to bet on over the next 30 days. And for a limited time, you can become a subscriber to VSiN for just $9.99. That'll get you insight into daily baseball, best bets, NBA, NHL playoffs as well. Only VSiN Pro subscribers, though, get access to the daily recap that's made of all of our top plays from VSiN show hosts and guests. You also get tools like Betting Splits to let you see where the money and bets are moving for each game, as well as a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Still to come here on the Lombardi Line, good friend of the show, VSiN contributor Will Hill. Get his opinion on some NFL futures as well as the NBA's Eastern and Western Conference final. Big game tonight with the Lakers and Nuggets going head-to-head. And Josh Applebaum, your former partner in crime, is going to join us as well. So.
Yep, NBA draft lottery. I'm sure Josh might have something on that.
Yes, right? Victor Wembanyama day,
right?
As I say.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to those guests, though.
Yeah, it'll be great. For now, though, we're going to go to a little college football. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know that Georgia, a favorite yet again, favored to three-peat. So that's fun. Highest win total of any team in the country at 11.5. Yet looking at their schedule, could very well be another undefeated year. Who knows? The over on that 11.5 plus 130. And slowly over the course of the summer, we're going to work our way through, you know, each of these collegiate conferences, looking at different things. But we wanted to start with the Pac-12 because I know it's a league that's close to my heart, close to your heart as a Colorado alum,
right?
Us being West Coast folks.
Yep.
But just right off the top, as you look at the league as a whole going into 2023, what intrigues you most?
Well, full disclosure, I'm on the Pac-12 Alumni Football Council, too. So I'm involved in some meetings and stuff like that with the Pac-12. But I think it's a more competitive league, certainly. I think what we've tried to do with the Football Council, and you know, you have some legendary players from the Pac-12 on this council, and increase the footprint. The SEC talks about what a great conference they are, and they are, but it's not that deep of one, right? You know, the bottom half of that conference benefits because of the chatter. And so I think when you look at the Pac-12, we're trying to change that a little bit, the chatter. And some players are transferring into this conference. And we'll see what happens with a TV deal, though. So, but from a profile standpoint, the Pac-12 wants to boost the profile. And there's a lot of high-profile players in the Pac-12. And I think it's going to be a competitive league. I mean, nine conference games. A lot of teams don't want to do that. Nine conference games. But they did away with divisions in terms of, you know, it's open up to where everybody within the Pac-12 conference has a chance to play for the championship. Therefore, also, if you don't win a championship, you can move on to a New Year's Day bowl as well. So it's beneficial. It's right there for a lot of teams for the taking.
And good for the league right now, obviously, to still have USC and UCLA as a part of it.
Right.
USC, a team that obviously intrigues so many people coming off of the switch to get Lincoln Riley last year, bringing in Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. They more than doubled their win total from the season prior last year, went over their 9.5 posted win total with an 11-1 season in the regular season. Lone loss to Utah, whom they also fell to in the Pac-12. And they did make a Cotton Bowl appearance, falling by 1 point to Tulane. And what a fun game that was.
Right.
But USC, win total set at 9.5 again, was 10.5 yesterday, juice $2. So now the juice is a little bit lower, -175 at the 9.5. But general thoughts about the Trojans coming
loaded,
back this year.
Loaded offensively, Stormy, we know that. I mean, Caleb Williams, he will be the number one overall pick. The only thing that comes to mind, though, is, you know, in the Pac-12 championship game last year, he pulled his hamstring against Utah. He was balling, too. And he just reminded everybody how
his
good he was.
His injury saved my Utah to win the Pac-12 preseason ticket
there
that I thought
go.
Was dead in the water.
It the way he was playing, the way he was poised in the pocket, the way he was delivering the ball and how they were operating offensively, I mean, it was spectacular. So, but like Smith and Jigba this year or last year, you know, he gets hurt and, okay, do you shut it down? You know, there's always that caveat, I think, out there for a guy like this. You know, if he has any type of injury, does he shut it down because of what's in front of him? Like, we already have players not going to bowl games because I don't want to risk anything in a meaningless game. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think SC's loaded enough defensively to chase a championship. Offensively, though, they have a ton of firepower. But that schedule, a more competitive Pac-12 and then non-con situations too with SC too. I mean, I think that just gets a little difficult in terms of thinking of the Trojans as a playoff caliber team.
They are the shortest shot for a national championship at 14-1. I mean, this league in general, so does the Pac-12 get a team in the playoff? That's a big question because you know how they eat each other up.
Right. And that's the thing, nine conference games and, you know, and some difficult ones. I mean, Utah is not going to be a cupcake. It never is. Washington.
Yeah, it's like death taxes and Utah season win total overs has been a very good bet. Their win total, by the way, set at 8.5.
But. Well, and so you got to navigate the nine conference games and then you got to navigate and win the Pac-12 championship, which should propel you into that situation, but there's just some obstacles, some hurdles out there, I believe. I mean, defensively, for one, offensive line, too, and then Caleb, you know, the amount of money that he's going to make, or he already has, it's like, and I've said this before, so I mean, it's like you have the Powerball. You have it in your hand. You're going to win. All you got to do is walk up on stage and cash it in, and he has that. But if he gets hurt or something like that, you wonder if that interrupts those things. So to me, that's a wild card out there to keep aware of.
Yeah, it's a $5 favorite to be the number one draft pick next year anyways. As you look at the league, though, USC, Oregon, Washington, UCLA, Utah, Oregon State, all with win totals over 8.5.
Right.
High expectations for a lot of programs in the league. Who is the best opportunity outside of USC to knock Utah off of their Pac-12 title run?
I mean, Oregon State, don't sleep on them. They're hidden too,
yes.
Right? I think You know, I'm not going to be crazy and get nuts and say Colorado. I'm not going to do that. Although I think Colorado is going to surprise people.
Trust me, I'm bringing up Colorado next.
Okay. I think they're going to surprise people. I mean, Oregon's always there. Washington with Penix Jr. is good, too. So Washington is sleepy good because in the state of Washington, in particular in Seattle, high school football is outstanding. It's kind of like Utah. People don't understand it. The state of Utah, they have premium high school football. And along with some athletes that he can get from other places, but and then they're well coached too. So I'm looking at, you know, Washington in a coaching situation. I think Oregon State's hidden, but in the Utah, I mean, obviously. But I mean, SC will be there. I just wonder again, the defense, does it show up or can it show up? Do they have a good defense? And then also the wild card being Caleb Williams too.
Well, and yeah, that's the thing with Washington. Their defense needs improvement because you don't want to have to win every game in a shootout. Right. Their offense last year averaging around 39 points per game and could be even better this season. But yeah, Washington year two with Kalen DeBoer, mm-hmm. Oregon year two with Dan Lanning.
Right.
But let's go to your alma mater.
Okay, let's
Lots of hype around a team that won a single game a year ago, bringing in Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. We saw the fanfare, of course, at the spring game. Nice to see rejuvenation from the fan base. But still, an uphill battle. They retained like 13 scholarship players
it.
Or something like
That's
that.
That's it. Yeah, he kicked a lot of people off that team. I mean,
but one of the Bet Nation's top transfer classes that came in because of the people he got. But.
And to me, that's where I think bookmakers are behind the eight ball here because, you know, we saw last year SC benefit from the transfer portal. But, you know, there was some continuity because you had Caleb and Lincoln and, you know, you're getting all these all-stars going to the program. I'm here to tell you, for coaches, for coaching staff, when you can land four-star and five-star recruits, your job is easier. CU, for the longest, did not land four-star and five-star. Every once in a while, the program would get a guy like that, but then they would transfer out, right? What Coach Prime has done is he's brought in a collection of four- and five-star guys. And, you know, he kind of ran off those guys that really weren't going to be able to see the field. Now, I think from a perception standpoint, it's negative. But there's upside there. I think the amount of coaches that they have and the type of coaches that they have, they want to roll up their sleeves, Stormy. They want to get and work with these guys. Deion will demand that too. So I think it's better than 3.5. I think it's better than 4 games. I think it's right on 4 games, to be honest with you. I'm optimistic about a bowl opportunity because college football is about upsets too, right? And that's what makes – that's what separates college football, is that a game at home, I'm looking at you, Nebraska. You know, when people don't think, okay, maybe you're not going to be competitive or a situation like that, and all of a sudden you have that upset, and you storm the field, and you tear down the goalposts, right? So I think that's in the cards a little bit down the line for CU if we can stay healthy.
And that's what you need to go over that win total of 3, is at least one of those upsets that somebody's not going to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like the over 3 at that plus price, plus 115, because, I mean, I feel like they'll get at least 3. I feel like they'll get 3.
Yeah.
And then that's going to be a push, but you get the plus money on the over. So that's the way that I would play it, at least for now. They are a 20.5-point underdog at TCU week 1. Crazy to think about. We'll see what Shador can do in his first start as a CU.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, laces up with a playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a one-game parlay of 4 legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25, even if you miss 1 leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the playoffs. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get back up to $25 on a bonus bet if 1 leg of your one-game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and older only, new customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Alongside Mike Pritchard today, I'm Stormy Bonantoni, and we welcome into the show Will Hill, VSiN contributor at Not The Will Hill on Twitter, helping us break down everything in the NBA. And we got some NFL futures I see as well. But Will, what was your boy Aaron Judge looking at yesterday? Everybody's talking about it.
It was a little strange. My guess is the catcher was tipping the pitches, somehow giving away the pitches, and the first base coach was picking it up, and he was looking at the first baseman, the first base coach, to get a feel for what pitch was coming. He gave the explanation after the game, and you can never, Stormy, you interview athletes, you can never really take what these athletes say in interviews at face value, especially when it's something like that. If you're gaining an advantage, you're not going to just say, hey, I was gaining an advantage. So he said that he was looking at his teammates because the score was 6-0, and he didn't think it was right that his teammates were kind of chirping up 6-0. I don't really buy that. But hey, if it's part of baseball. If you're giving away your signs, it's perfectly legal to steal them. It's no different than playing cards. If you're using a device to detect the cards, that's a felony. But if you're just, if the dealer's sort of showing the cards, giving the hand away, that's on them. So interesting scenario. It was definitely strange, though. You don't see a batter like that peeking away before the pitch is coming. He's definitely looking at something.
I mean, come on. I mean, I hear what you're saying.
He was distracted.
Yeah, but baseball players are the most sensitive athletes, period. Like, I mean, really, you worried about tipping signs or people stealing signs. Well, why is the catcher covering up the sign in the first place, right? I mean, come on. I mean, it's going to happen. It's gamesmanship. But then on top of that, you're talking about the home run king, too. I mean, this guy's launching the ball. And then if you're going to hang a breaking pitch over the middle of the plate, of course he's going to hit it out, right? I mean, I don't think it was so much stealing signs as a point of emphasis in terms of where that pitch location was when he knocked that ball out the park.
Yeah, and it's interesting because usually as the batter, if the pitcher has a tell in any way, the hitter has the best angle of anyone. You're staring right at him like nobody else has a better angle. So something was definitely going on. I mean, I know he's the home run king and the guy threw 6 sliders in a row, but hey, if you think you can have an advantage, you're going to take the advantage.
Yeah.
It's on the team to protect their signs. I remember Belichick was talking about this when they played the Ravens in a game like 20 years ago. There was an offensive lineman where if he lined up with his hand one way, they knew it was a run. Mm-hmm. If he lined up with his hand another way, they knew it was a pass. And before the game, they found out, like right before 90 minutes before, they found out he was inactive. And he said it broke their heart. So guys, look for stuff. If you can find an advantage, you look for one. Yeah.
If it didn't go yard, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. Right. But here with VSiN's own Will Hill, at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. Make sure you give him a follow. Does a great job tweeting through a lot of these games, which I'm sure you'll be posting hot and heavy tonight in game one of the Western Conference Finals, the NBA. The Lakers getting 6.5 tonight in Denver at Ball Arena. And it's an interesting situation here where the Lakers, we know, have taken game one, this upset as a road dog in each of the previous two series this postseason. But the Nuggets have been perfect at home and 5-1 against the spread. How are you looking to play tonight?
Yep, you hit on it, and it's interesting. They've taken both game ones. They've not only lost the other four games on the road, they've gotten blown out in the game twos, the game fives. So I'm not a huge trend guy, but I do think this is not an accident here, where there's a reason they have an MO, and that is steal game one on the road, and then they can dictate the series. They can sort of coax from there. They can punt on game two. They can punt on game five if they're up 3-1. They can pace themselves. So I think with rest under their belt, that's another thing with these game ones. They have a little more rest under the belt. I think with the 3 days off, I think they're going to go really hard for this game. I'm surprised this is going up to 6.5. I think they'll be right in this game. I like the Lakers plus the points as much. I think this is a long series. I'd probably lean towards Denver winning it. And, you could lay Denver -160 to win the series. But I think the last price I saw, you can bet Western Conference Finals MVP. If you like Denver, just take Jokic -130, because Denver is not winning the series without Jokic winning this award. I guess you could say Murray could have a few, whatever, 50-point games, but Jokic -130 to win Western Conference Finals MVP is the better bet than Nuggets in the series. But I think LA will be right in this series. There's some fascinating sort of X's and O's matchups with Davis and Jokic. You go back to the bubble, they're not the same teams. But you can't really look at this year either, because these teams essentially have not played each other. They played twice in October, they played in December, and they played in January. So they have not played since the Lakers dealt Westbrook and got all these other guys. And in the game in January, LeBron and Davis were both out. So these teams have essentially not played each other. But I'll take the 6.5 here. I'm surprised this line's going up.
Yeah, well, there's no data point from the regular season to bring into this matchup. I mean, The Lakers completely different from the beginning of the year. Obviously, like you mentioned, the trade deadline is so fortunate for the Lakers. But I want to get to player props because the theme of the playoffs so far in the association has been the superstars canceling each other out, right? You know, Jokic can go for 50. We know that. But so can LeBron. I mean, AD. I mean, where would you go for player props and this knowing potential matchups, potential rotations that we might see in this series?
Yeah, and I think it's smart to sort of sync up your handicap of the game with your player props. Like I said in game five, when it was 3-1 Lakers, I said play under on the Lakers because I think the Warriors will win big and I think the Lakers will pull the plug on their guys. I mean, the bet ended up winning, but the Lakers sort of ended up, you know, left their guys in longer than expected. But if I like the Lakers tonight, I think Davis has a big game. And I think at 22.5 points, I don't like to play a lot of overs. I think if you just blindly play the unders on these superstars, you do very well. I think close to 60% just because people like to bet overs, root for overs, that kind of thing. But I think this is a good matchup for Davis. As great as Jokic is offensively, and I really think we all see now he probably should have won the MVP for the third time in a row. He does have some issues defensively. You can expose him in pick and roll. Davis will have an edge in athleticism. Davis will be rested here. So to me, Davis getting to 23 points is very doable. I like Davis over 22.5 points. And Jokic, you get this at plus 165 at DraftKings, over 1.5 threes. I think you can't let Davis rest on defense. You have to pull him away from the basket, make him participate in the actions, put him in pick and roll. Don't just let him stand in there and swat everything, you know, like he's got a fly swatter in the paint like he did sometimes against Golden State. Make him come out on the perimeter. So I think Jokic, there will be an emphasis on him to shoot threes. I could see him getting, you know, 5 or 6 attempts up. So plus 165 on over 1.5, I think is a good bet.
Real quick follow-up on Jokic, because I saw one of those DK specials that Jokic to have a triple-double this series was plus 130. He had back-to-back triple-doubles to close out Phoenix. I want to say 5 of them total this postseason. But getting D'd up by Anthony Davis is a little bit of a different animal. Do you think that he can get one this set?
That boy, that looks like a I wonder if there's a maximum bet, because that looks like a really good bet.
Right?
He's almost even money to get these triple doubles. Seems like he gets one every night. He's like a 50. He's like a coin flip to get one every single night. And yeah, Davis will give him a hard time, but he's still got to get his 10 points. I mean, I guess he'll get some fewer rebounds with Davis there, but I mean, plus 130, that certainly seems like a bet. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that bet, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm thinking about the matchups, because if the Lakers double the Joker, then he can dish it. I mean, he's so good. He's a point center. Will they switch up too? I mean, I'm anticipating LeBron at some point kind of reserving Anthony Davis, because he is an old guy on the floor sometimes. Will, I mean, Anthony Davis is painful to watch him play out there at times.
30 going on 40, absolutely. And Jeff Van Gundy made the point, to your point, Pritch, about doubling Jokic. Van Gundy coached with Popovich. I think it was on the USA basketball team, one of the Olympic teams. And he said Popovich had a rule about Jokic, and you're going to double team him, you have to double him from a blind spot. Yeah. You can't double him where he can see it, because he will absolutely pick you apart. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Last minute here, favorite futures bet that you've seen on the board since the schedule came out?
I still think the Bengals at plus money to win their division is a good bet. I don't think Pittsburgh, I think they have a high floor, but I don't think they have the ceiling to get there with the quarterback. Look, there's no bigger Lamar fan than me, but his receivers, his ability to stay on the field for 17 games, that's an issue. Cleveland, their defense has had issues. Watson hasn't played well since really 2019, 2020. So Bengals, to me, are a top 2 or 3 team in the league. They're right there with Philly, right behind Kansas City. So I think the Bengals at plus money to win that division is a good bet. And, you know, I would probably say I think Minnesota at 3-1 is a good bet to win that division. To me, I don't think Chicago can get from one win to the 9 or 10 plus wins you're going to need to win that division. Probably that's a huge jump. I don't count Green Bay as a factor with Love. So to me, it's a coin flip between the Vikings or Lions. I guess you give a slight edge to the Lions, but at 3-1, a little more than 3-1, give me the Vikings. I'm sure there'll be some regression, but that's still a good team, a good offense. Flores will fix their defense. So I like the Vikings at over 3-1 to win the North there.
You're awesome, buddy. Good luck with your bets today. Appreciate you.
See ya. Thanks for having me.
Right.
The one and only Will Hill. And to his point, I mean, you're getting a better number on the Vikings to win the division than you would on their season win total, but their win total at 8.5. I do lean over on that. I know you're giving me the smirk like you don't.
No, but I agree with it, because Mike Clay from ESPN has the Minnesota Vikings with the best pass rush in terms of depth in an entire National Football League.
Yeah, I think a 5-game drop off from last year just seems too much to me.